mic good?
Your mic is good. We can hear you. Everything is good. Everything is fine. So everybody, I want to welcome you all to the Stir in the Pot podcast. I am your gracious and wonderful host, Gary Bryant, and the creator of this podcast. Tonight, we have a very, very, very special guest to me, my beautiful mother-in-law, Dr. Michelle G. Pugh. If everybody, come on and give her a hand clap. While she's here. Absolutely. So
let me ask a question. I won't be able to see the questions and stuff on Facebook.
Well, I don't know. Can you see the screen that I see with the comments right here on the side?
No, I have it on my, I have my other phone.
Okay. All right. So you can see it, right?
Okay. Someone want to ask me something.
All right. If you want to on your other phone, text your daughter and see what she able to get on. I gave her my information to log on to my page from another account. But yeah, everybody. So tonight we are bringing you guys an exclusive and a conversation that we believe that is very prevalent in the African-American community, is very prevalent in a lot of Americans and just people in general, regardless today. You know, a lot of people that's near and dear to all of us that's in the comments and us that's a part of this platform have or know someone who has been a victim of child sexual abuse. That's the new terminology for it. Child sexual abuse, or some of us know it as molestation. So you already got a comment, Mom. Lock Keem said, "Oh my God, that's Pastor G. I love her." Absolutely, absolutely. So now that everything is good, everything is working. So you know. Basically, the way that I do this, and you've seen some of my lives, I like to give a little bit of facts. I like to give some statistics, and then we basically go from there.
Okay, great.
I'm going to ask you some questions, and you have every right to ask me any questions, and you also have any right to decline answering anything. For everybody that's on here, this is being streamed to Facebook and YouTube. Facebook and YouTube. So I hope you guys, like I said, and if you're on here, please hit the share button right now. If you are on here, hit the share button right now so that we can spread this word. Marisa, Lamar, all everybody that's on here, not to call names, I'm sorry. So, molestation, sexual child abuse, a conversation with Dr. Pugh. So basically, when we talk about child molestation, one, we have to define it. I always try to give a definition because a lot of us will say certain things, but we don't know the proper meaning or terminology for it. So the CDC, the same people that's running around telling us what to do with this here COVID, basically, so what is child sexual abuse? The CDC says, child sexual abuse is the significant but preventable adverse childhood experience. In public and health problem, child sexual abuse refers to the involvement of a child, persons less than 18 years old, in a sexual activity that violates the law or social taboos of social in that he and she does not consent to or is unable to give an informed consent to or is not developmentally prepared for and cannot give consent to. So that's what the CDC says that child sexual abuse is. We're going to talk about child sexual abuse because majority of the time, that's when abuse happens. That's when molestation or child abuse happens. So, so one of the things, and this is a statistic, one of the things that I didn't know, you know, I was typing like how big of a problem, looking for any kind of statistics that I could find. And they put it in a money. They said that the effect that child sexual abuse have on the economy is a $9.3 billion effect on the American economy. Would you believe that?
Wow.
Do you believe that something that could happen to an individual when they were in their adolescence, when they, a child, we've heard about abuse as infants. You know, it's we've seen on the news where we see babies become sexually abused. We see children, little kids that's less than 10, you know, 2, 5, 3, any age. No age is safe when it comes to sexual abuse. Would you agree?
I agree.
Okay. So this is another thing. And I want everybody, and I like to give these definitions and these numbers because sometimes people can see the density of the situation a lot better when you give them a little more informative information.
Yeah.
And statistics, right? So another thing. So I also Google. Now, all these places, like I said, I always tell people they can fact check me whenever they want. Because I cite my sources. So, I also, in the DCF, that's basically Vermont's version of the CDC. In the DCF, it says that I asked what percentage of child molesters are caught? And the answer says, one study indicates that one in every 10 men has molested a child.
That's too many.
One. That's absolutely too many. One. Listen, it didn't say one out of every 10 men was molested. It said one out of every 10 men that walk this earth have molested a child. We have to start protecting these babies.
Yes.
We have to start protecting these babies.
Yes.
Okay. Despite the high rate of child sexual abuse, only 16% of victims are able to tell that they are being abused. 16% of child victims are able to tell someone that they're being abused. Now, what does that mean? That means that either they're too young to understand, or that's the only definition you can say. That's the only thing you can say, because we have to understand that this thing is happening at an alarmingly young age. Babies.
It's another reason, but we'll get into that.
Okay. All right. I'm gonna finish this definition, and then we're gonna start getting into the meats and the potatoes of everything. Is that all right with
you?
All right. So, 16% of victims, of child victims, y'all, can 16% of child victims are able to tell someone that they are being abused, and only 3% of sexual offenders, sex offenders, are caught and prosecuted. 3%. 3%. These numbers are absolutely disgusting to me. And we know this is a sickness, but to me, I'm sorry. It is absolutely disgusting that only 3% of these predators are caught and prosecuted. And we have to ask ourselves, and I know, you know, I might make somebody upset in the comment that might be able to relate to some of this, but we have to ask ourselves, who is really at fault? It ain't about a blame game. It's not about passing the blame to anyone. But we do have to understand that somebody dropped the ball. So,
yes.
So my first question tonight is basically, in your definition, Dr. Pugh, what is the difference between molestation and sexual abuse? Now, that's kids and adults, the whole parameter. To you, what is your definition of the two? Well, or what's the difference? I'm sorry.
Molestation is what happens to children and babies. And sexual abuse is anyone over, I would say, 16 and older.
So
when someone is violating you, that means that you don't understand what's going on, or you don't agree to it, and they take advantage of you. And if you see my hand going up, it's because I want to see.
Oh, go ahead. No problem. No problem. Take your time. We got time.
We got time. So to me, that's the difference.
So let me ask you this. What if you have an individual that's an adult in age, but mentally they slowly progress. I forget the proper term for it, and I don't want to speak out of turn, but say that they're mentally challenged.
I would put them in the section with molestation, even though they may be older than 16, but if they're not mentally able to comprehend what's going on, I wouldn't say that's such. It would be both to me then, mm-hmm. I guess, at that age.
So do you think that this is a cultural thing, or do you think that this is a no? Hey, I'll ask it like this. Do you think culturally this is a disease, or this is just an illness?
Oh, well, in a sense, it could be both. But it happens too often. And mm-hmm. now we're talking about it, and at one time we weren't. And I believe I started talking about it before you were even born. Oh.
Now, they're not going to believe you that age now. They're not going to believe you that
glory
you're...
Glory to God. I'll be 60 next year, so I'm 59. So I give honor to God. But, yeah, I started talking about it, if you don't mind me starting.
No, go ahead.
I started talking about it in 1980.
Wow.
I started talking about it in 1980.
Wow.
And that was a part of my healing and a part of my therapy. I believe... you'll get stuck in that situation mm-hmm. if you don't release it and you don't talk about it. So in 1980, I was 18 years old. I had been molested when I was started out when I was seven. It started when I was seven and it ended when I was 13.
Wow. And hold on, time out. I'm sorry. Could you go back and repeat that for some people who, and I'm not trying to get you to relive it. I just want you to repeat it.
Fine. I'm good with it today.
All right.
Thank God I'm able to share. The more I share, the more I'm being healed. Is someone might not understand it, but that's a part of my healing.
Mm-hmm.
The more I share it, because at first I wasn't able to. So it happened with my stepfather.
Okay.
My mother's husband. He was a deacon in the church,
mm-hmm.
and it happened in 1969. It started when she
wow.
married him, and it stopped when I was 13. But I'll go back to when
so it six years. Wow.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry to cut you off. Go ahead.
I was seven, right? Yeah.
Wow.
So he used to make it seem like it was a game.
Wow.
He did it like a game. Of course, he wouldn't do it in front of my mother. I know hearing some stories, if I start sharing my story, other ladies told me that their mother knew and they didn't do anything about it and all of that. My mother didn't know. Mm-hmm. And out of fear, that's the second reason. Remember you said the one thing, you know, someone may be too young to understand. But the second thing is it was out of fear that I believed, because I mm-hmm. always still question why wouldn't I say anything.
Okay.
Out of fear, I would not talk about it. For one, he used to beat my mom very, very bad. I mean, black eyes, ribs broke, and all of it. And that's why I thought this was a very good topic to talk about, because in the church that we were going to, they may not have known that we were, my sister and myself, were being molested.
Wow.
And that's something, too, that we were so scared that we didn't even talk about it. But the thing was, when my mother was being abused in the church, and I love the church. I'm a pastor, I'm a bishop, I'm a apostle. But I think we should talk about it, and we should tell our young people about it and let them know. And when I was the youth pastor, I talked intensively about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes people don't feel like they have anyone that they can trust to talk to about being molested. They're ashamed. They feel like it's their fault. You know, so many times I was like, why didn't I say anything? And I'm being transparent, you know, because I pray that what I'm saying maybe will help somebody that may be listening. If not today, someone else may go back and listen later.
Absolutely.
And they can start their healing process. So I would say, well, did I like it? Is that why I didn't say anything?
Wow.
Or what? You know, what was the reason? You know, I beat myself up so many times, like, why would you not tell somebody? You know, but I know I was afraid. I was afraid of him, what he did to my mother, and at that age, and no one helped my mother, so I'm assuming they wouldn't be able to help me either. You know, I'm assuming that would have been the answer, you know?
Uh-huh.
So, it's just crazy. You just don't know. And if anybody, it's not your fault. I don't care. It's not your fault. It's never a child's fault for an adult to put their hands on them inappropriately, whether it's a male or female. And females molest little girls, as well as females molest little boys, as well as males molest little boys as well as little girls. You know, it was just, at one time, it would just be like a man touching a little girl inappropriately.
But uh-huh.
It could be anybody. And it could be an older brother and a sister. It could be an aunt and an uncle. You know, it could be anybody.
Yeah.
And some people told me that their own fathers molested them. So wow. It's crazy. It could be anybody. But it's never your fault. It's never your fault.
So let's deal with that, because from my research, it seems like there's a recurring trait that basically make the victim seem like it's their fault, or they never say anything to get, because of the psychological place that they're in after it happens. It's something that article I read not too long ago. I didn't even jot it down, but it was saying that most victims don't even like to speak about it, because psychologically it's almost like they are thrown into a cave, and they it's like if they said it, who's going to believe them or hear them anyway? So, go ahead.
I just wish I would have. I wish I would have said something. And I just say all the time, why didn't I? I even still question myself today, you know, trying to look back and, you know, like, why would you not say anything? Why would you not tell your father, you know? And I don't know. I still just say maybe it was fear.
Uh-huh.
And I knew it was wrong. because he only did it when my mother was out the house, of course. You know, he only did it if my mother was downstairs cooking or washing, and he'll have me on his lap or have me laying in the bed with him. I thank God. I mean, if it happened, it happened. I would be honest. He never penetrated me. But if he had me rubbing on him, he was touching me and stuff like that. So it was still wrong. It was still wrong all the way around. Whether he penetrated me or not, it was still wrong. So I just, like, I don't know why, you know, I never said anything. I guess when I look back over again, the only thing that can come up is out of fear because of what he was doing to my mother.
So do you think that because you said that he was abusing your mother also, I'm guessing you're talking physically, putting his hands on her. Do you think that what you seen her endure, you thought that if you said something that he might do that same thing to you?
I don't know. I just think he had everybody shook.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. Probably. Another thing I want to say, it's so much going on in my mind.
Be free.
I believe that you should always tell your children. I saw somebody saying that when my phone keep going black because I'm not moving it. That, you know, watch your children. Watch your house, your children go. Look, it happened in my own house. So if it can happen in your own house, you know it can happen in your auntie's house, your cousin's house, your brother, your sister's house. Why, you know, don't be so anxious always wanting to go out and having your children over people's houses. You know, that happens a lot. You know, please watch your children. Talk to your children. Ask your children questions. Let them know that it's okay, because I've heard a lot of people say that the molester threatened to kill them if they told. Threaten to kill their parents and all of that. So talk to your children and let them know that you're going to protect them and they can be open and honest. Another thing, to always try to tell your children that don't lie about something like that, because some children get mad at somebody and they know that you might react to it and that'd be the first thing that they will lie about. And you don't want that to happen because that...
Almost like the boy,
be detrimental.
The boy that cried wolf syndrome.
You don't want your child to lie about because they don't want to get in trouble or something like that. I've seen people lie. They got pregnant, you know, and they said it was one person, but it really wasn't. It was somebody else, but they were scared to tell. They got to be honest because this thing is too serious not to be honest about and not to tell the truth. But you should start at a young age, like 1 and 2, telling your children about their body parts and who should touch it and who should feel it, who should wash them, who should not wash them and touch them, or who like, my baby's new, only me or my mother or my sister was able to, Angie knew, to give her a bath. You know what I'm saying? And touch her in certain parts. And my Gigi babies.
I don't know if you can see. Can you see Lamar Sanders' comment and Lakeem's comment?
Okay.
You want to address those comments? Because Lamar asked a question, I guess is geared towards you. He said, did your mom ever apologize because of what happened? That's what Lamar Sanders said. He asked the question.
I'm not sure if she really apologized. I know I did not tell Lamar. I did not tell my mother. All right, let me go back. I'm gonna get there.
All right.
Let me know what you want me to answer.
Okay.
Again, like you can, I said, go ahead. The way it's moving.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't say anything all those years. It only stopped. I thought you was gonna ask me that, but you didn't. So I'm gonna tell you why it stopped.
All right. Go ahead.
It stopped because I was 13 years old. And I had got a little boyfriend. And my little boyfriend and I were in the basement, like kissing and grinding. And I heard him come in the house. We ran in the back near the washroom trying to hide, and he came downstairs and he saw me. And so I just knew I was going to get it, because I mean, you know, we was going to get it. I was going to get it. And guess what, y'all? He never touched me. He never even mentioned it. He didn't even tell my mother.
Mm.
And I think then I knew the power was broken.
Wow.
If y'all can understand.
Wow.
And he never said anything. And then the next time he tried to touch me, it was something I said or did, and he never did it again. I don't know what exactly what it was, but I think he knew that enough was enough. And if he continued, I probably would have said something. I did, and so I was 13, Lamar. I didn't tell my mother until I was 18 years old. I was already married, and I had already had Angela. And something happened with my niece, and we thought that she was molested, but she wasn't molested. And that's when I opened up. And again, that's when Oprah Winfrey had talked about her situation with being molested. And when she was talking about it on the air, I heard it. And then what happened with my niece, even though it wasn't, you know, she wasn't molested, I opened up and I started sharing with my family and told them. And the only thing my mother, she kept saying, why didn't you say anything? Why didn't you say anything? I was looking like she may have thought that he could have possibly been doing it, but she was like, why did you not say anything? And I really didn't really have a real answer, but I guess I was scared.
Wow.
And I was 18. So all those years, I held it.
So the next person, Keem said, well, he made a statement, and I guess you can tell if you agree or disagree with it. He says that this is a systematic issue as much as a mental and religious issue on our part. It's not ironic that most religious leaders were the ones committing these atrocities of molestation or child abuse, because we don't expect them to be those type of people. Look at the Catholic Church. It gets swept under the rug all the time, and children suffer from that. If we're going to get to the root of the problem of this disgusting act, we gotta go there.
I agree. That's why I talk about it. I do. And
mm-hmm.
I probably talk about it more so because it happened to me and I could relate to it.
Okay.
But it's really horrible. And we can stop it. We can stop it. I know a lot of the people in the Catholic Church said they were molested, and now that's why they're molesters, and then that person is a molester, and it goes on and on. But it definitely needs to be talked about, and it needs to be stopped. And if someone is doing it, and someone on here may be molesting somebody and don't even, you know how to stop, for real, listen, go get help now. Go get help. So
wow.
You won't continue to mess up someone else's life.
Mm.
You know, I thank God that I continue to go to church. And even when a lot of times I did things I was not proud of, and I'm sorry I did while I was in church, but I continue to go to church. I continue to pray, even though I was out there getting high and getting drunk, and that could have been smoking weed, tried to smoke crack, I'm keeping it transparent, right? Pills. I think I did everything except shoot up. And I was scared of needles, so I wasn't going to do that. But I did basically everything else. But I just thank God that I continue to go to church and continue to pray. Some people call that a hypocrite. Call me what you may. I kept continue to go. I continue to ask God to help me. I continue to ask God to deliver me. And I had to talk my way through it. And it really helped when I went into the prison and I started sharing my story. And I think a lot of people, especially women, do a lot of things sexually because they've been molested and their spirit is in them and they don't know how to be delivered from it. And they continue to go out and try to find love in all the wrong places and continue to have sex with this girl, that boy, that guy, or whatever, whoever it may be, and trying to find love because of the situation that they were in. But we gotta be honest and we gotta be true, and the curse has to be broken. I don't care, in the church, out the church. It's wrong. And when I went into the prisons and when I gave my testimony, so many of those women came up to me afterwards and said, thank you so much for giving your testimony. It helped me. And I was able to pray for them and counsel them. And the more I talked about it, the better I start feeling inside. And my healing really started at that point. So that's why I don't have a problem sharing and telling people my story, because the more I talk about it, the more I'm being healed.
So who do you think is most likely to be molested? Like what gives the characteristics of a molestation victim, if there's a such thing as a characteristic?
I think I just heard someone else talk about this, and they were saying that they talked too much, and they felt like that person wasn't going to text them because they knew they was going to tell. But someone that is more secluded, more quiet, standoffish, or if they felt like they was the black sheep
okay.
of the family, like they have less than other people. You know, a molester could take advantage of that person because now they're going to make them feel like they love them and nobody else does, and different things like that. So that's why we that have children, we need to love on them, let them know we love them. And not just by buying them things, but letting them know that you are loved and God love you. I may not be able to buy you the new Jordans. I may not be able to buy you the best game system, but I love you and I'm going to do the best I can to raise you up to be a godly man or woman, you know, at an early age, and that you are somebody. And don't let people take advantage of you, not just molestation, but in every other area as well. You know how important you are and how valuable you are. And you don't deserve it. You don't deserve it.
We have another comment from my blood uncle. His name is Ronald Bryant. He is a retired police sergeant, if I'm not mistaken. He put a comment in that says, in my experience interviewing victims, I have found that in most cases, the victim and close relatives have a family or personal attachment to the violator. It leaves a child in a position to process how to upset or hurt the sensitive nature of relationships and not have the finger of blame for causing such pointed at them. This seems to cause that tragic silence that allows violators to often go unreported and the victim suffers in silence. Amen to that.
I agree with that, but I don't think that was my issue. But I do agree with that, because especially if the person's like, oh, that little heifer is lying, you know, and now you're saying, are you going to believe me, your husband, or your brother? You know, or you want to believe this little liar. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
that's why lying is just, oh my goodness, we should not be trying, you know, to teach our children about lying so you won't be known as a liar. And then when someone does something to you, people is going to say, I'm not going to believe them. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's crazy. So that's why. But yeah, I've heard that as well. What he said, talking about it over the years, a lot of times that and it has happened. It has broken up families. It has. But I mean, the family was already broken when you touch my son or you touch my daughter. For real, the family was already broken.
So King made a statement. He said that the perpetrator has no idea the trauma they add to an innocent life by taking advantage of them. It's more than just physical, it's emotional and mental trauma as well. He's very blunt and said that they need to die. Oh, God. So people...
Can I tell you? At one point, I thought about putting a hit out on him. I ain't gonna lie. I'm keeping it transparent. I thought about it. One of my friends, they's like, you want me to get him?
Wow.
They did.
At what age was that? When you had a friend that was willing to act on a trauma that you were dealing with?
I think I was like in my 20s. We were about in our 20s when I started talking about it.
So and when you...
Still alive. The guy was still alive. My mother did end up leaving him. Thank God she did end up leaving him. But again, even after she left him, I still didn't say anything until all those years later. But I said no. I guess I said no. I ain't give up. He didn't die that way. And it was years and years later that we went to a funeral. I think it was his cousin's funeral. And I had always thought about how I would react if I ever saw him. Because we were separated from them at that point. And I remember, you know, was I able to forgive? And I'll never forget the day when we went to the funeral and I was like, there he is. There he is. And I had went and walked past the casket and came around and was getting ready to go back to my seat. And he was like, hey, how you doing? And he put his hand around my shoulder and he was like, I heard you doing good. You're a preacher now, huh? I just still remember that. And I was like, yeah, you know. Mm. And I just went and sat on down and just shaking my head like, wow.
Wow. So.
And then when I heard he died, I was like, wow, you know.
Do you think that you being transparent and talking about it freed you from it? Or do you think just the fact that you knew that he passed away and you didn't have to deal with that trauma anymore set you free? Which one do you think did?
Me sharing it.
You sharing it?
I was free when I saw him.
That day that you saw me, he put his arm on his hand on your shoulder.
I knew I was free then.
Wow.
But
what confirmed to you that you was free? If you can share with us, what was it about that day that you say, you know what, this doesn't affect me anymore?
Yeah, I think I probably would have reacted differently. I probably would have avoided him, or okay. If he act like he was going to touch me, I might have showed out at that funeral. Like, how dare you put your hands on me? And listen, I remember his sister was in the hospital room next to my aunt was in the same hospital room. And how ironic, they were in the same room. And he was talking. And I started talking, and she told me who she was. I was like, wow, because she had looked different. We all, you know, this. I was about 48, 47 then. You know, this was like maybe 45, maybe about 5 years ago. I was like, oh, my God, that was your brother? And I was just went on. I was spilling everything. Oh, you know he used to beat my mom, and you know he used to molest us too.
Wow. You had to let it be known.
Listen.
You had to let it be known.
I told her everything. So I was like, look, I'm gonna talk about it. It was not on me. You know what I'm saying? And so many times we as the victim blame ourselves. No, he was a dirty dog. Okay? He was a dirty dog that should have went and got help. He knew what he was doing was wrong.
Absolutely.
You know, he should have went on and got help and not mess up our lives.
All right, we have another question. Marisa Williams said, what do you do after a family member cuts you off after you tell them your truth? You kept from them for years to save their relationship with the person who violated you. Wow. Want me to read it again?
No, I had to. When people say, tell your truth, you know we've been here before, right? the truth, when people say, tell your truth, that means they gonna tell their truth, and everybody got their own truth. It's the truth. That person put their hands on me when I was 7 years old. Okay, it's not my truth or his truth. It's the truth. And if you tell the truth, and if people don't want to believe you, or people want to cut you off, her name is Melissa.
Marisa.
Listen, it's fine. Let them cut you off and you pray for them. But it's nothing wrong with you telling the truth. The truth. Because it's real. It's not, oh, he didn't. No, he did. He didn't know he was hurting me. Yes, he did. It's not my truth or his truth. It's the truth. They should not be touching babies. They should not be touching children. Go get help.
All right.
The relationship has to end. Because if you keep holding it, it's killing you inside. I mean, I guess God can heal you and deliver you, but I believe you should go somewhere and talk about it. Find somebody to talk about it. Even if somebody is on here today and you might not want to tell nobody else, you can call me. You can put my phone. You can lock my number in if you like. Anybody could call me and talk to me, because sometimes people, I think you got to get it out. I think you have to get it out. So many times in the Bible, it talks about wise counsel. It talks about talking to people. I know we talk to God, but you need to find someone that you can trust to talk to as well. So if you want to call me, you can call me. You don't have to put your business out on the air because you feel embarrassed, or you feel like people may not trust you or whatever. But to me, you need to talk about it. If it's not me, find a therapist, find somebody, call somebody, prayer line that you don't even know. Is many prayer lines all up and down social media, all on the internet. Find somebody to talk to and let them pray with you, because you will never be healed and you will never be delivered if you don't.
Wow. So Sonia Bryant said, and I think this was maybe to Marissa's statement, he was at some point in his life abused physically or sexually or mentally because his angles was abusive all around. I'm not 100% sure. I think that was towards a Marissa or towards the man. She's talking to you. I think so. Yeah.
Physically abused my mom and mentally. Mentally abused her as well as physical abused her and sexually abused and molested me and my sister. So, and I'm sorry for keep saying her because she's not here, but I'm just saying it was just not me. He was sick and he should have went and got help. I don't know if he was molested as a child or not, but one for certain and two for sure, he did it to me.
Uh-huh. So Lamar said, doctor, what would you tell people that's been molested and afraid to tell someone that might feel as though they won't be heard?
Again, I almost just answered basically that. You, I know you might may be scared, but tell it. You got to talk to somebody. You got to tell it. You have to talk to somebody. They might, you might be scared. Do it scared. Do it afraid, but do it. Like I said, they could call me or they could call anybody, but call somebody and get the help, because if not, you are killing yourself. You are killing yourself.
For whoever,
up there,
is that the wrong number? You said one of you got 10 numbers. I don't know which one you, which one you want. The other number up there. I'm sorry. Hold up.
I guess I should have. Yeah.
All right. The 267 number.
The 267 number. Any, that's anybody's number.
Oh, I'm sorry. You know, listen, I just hit the call, your name, and I dial whatever comes up. All right, I'm sorry about that. So, all right, go ahead.
They have to tell them, do it afraid. I don't care if you a man or a woman, a little boy, a little girl, talk about it. Tell somebody.
So funny that you, not funny that you say that, but you know, from the research that I've done today, now I'm no expert. All I do is get the facts and try to give it to y'all as best as I can. But what I learned today is that more men has been sexually assaulted than we like to understand. So remember we was talking about numbers last night. About the mental health issues. So they said about 20% of males in the U.S. has been sexually assaulted. Now, the more traumatic thing about that is, imagine which one is worse, the young boy that was sexually assaulted or the grown man that went to jail and was molested. See, we got to understand that in the demographic and the age that we in now, both of them are happening.
It is.
Both of them are taking place. Think about it. There is a baby boy that's being molested, and there is a grown man that's being molested. So some traumas that men go through. Can you imagine going 30 years through your life, one, without telling of a trauma that you went through as a child, and then become an incarcerated man and have that trauma reenacted on you as you are incarcerated as an adult? What would you say, Dr. Pugh, to the man, the grown man that was molested?
Talk about it. You went to jail. It bothered you. It hurt it there. And I'm sure it did. I mean, just like even if you were a baby, but you have to talk about it. Maybe you didn't say anything while you were there because you want to spare your life and you want to save your life. But when you got out of there, find somebody to talk about it to. I don't care who it is. You still have to talk about it, and you can be healed from it. Of course, they took advantage of you. It was nothing you felt like you could do. Some people died trying to stop it. They did, but you chose to live. But it happened to you. Still talk about it. Go through the process and get your healing. And healing is talking. Healing is crying. Healing is weeping. Healing is mourning. You go through it. Talk to God. Talk to somebody about it and get your release. You have to get your release. If not, it's going to come out one way or another. It's going to come out. And that goes for everybody.
All right. King made a statement and said, men see sex as an accomplishment, not abuse. That's why it's never reported. All right. We got a lot of comments. I'm going to go through them, and then you start addressing them however you want. Lamar said, I believe that because these dudes be acting like females these days. Okay, now Gizzy Brown, which is Cleola Tone's mom. You remember her?
Yes,
All right.
hi,
That's my
everybody.
other mom right there. I got all my ladies on here tonight.
Okay.
She said, "What do you think if one family member is the abuser and the other is a sibling of the abuser? Do the parents disown that child?" Wow. All right, I'm gonna read some more of these and then we can go back and deal with them. Sonya
Any
Bryant said,
questions at a time?
"Oh, go ahead. Go deal with my Cleola statement. What do you think if one family member is the abuser and the other is a sibling of the abuser? Do the parents disown that child?" Talking about the abuser.
Right, I understand.
Okay.
Listen, I wouldn't say you have to disown them unless they're not willing to go get help. But you are hurting the victim if you don't get them help as well as the sibling help. If it's the brother and the sister, listen, you're going to get help. Both of y'all going to get help because they both need healing. Obviously, it's a problem. And why are you doing this? Did some, you know, or you did it to your sister? Is it because someone did it to you and you? Wow, we've been on here for a minute.
We
Yeah,
started late. We started late.
that's one of the ladies from the prison calling me now. But I'll talk to her tomorrow because I think this is real important. So yeah, they need. I don't think you have to disown them unless they're not willing to go get help. Now, if you're not willing to get help and you think you're going to still be around your other siblings and around me and continue to this kind of behavior. Listen, I'm sorry. I have to do what I have to do to save my other children. But
All
you
right.
don't know who they may be doing it to. It might not just stop at their sibling. It could be their nieces and their nephews. You know what I'm saying? Because they are sick and they need to get help. And I don't think it's just one person. I think they're going to continue to do it with whoever they feel like they can. But I would not leave the sibling that has been violated in the house with that person alone anymore.
Okay. All right. Sonya Bryant made a statement and said that men aren't going to talk about it, talking about sexual abuse, because there's a stigma that'll consider them weak, which is very true. All right. We're going
But that's
to.
not, it doesn't have to be true. It makes you even stronger if you talk about it and get healed from it and tell other people about it and they could get healed from it. That doesn't make you weak. That makes you more stronger than the person that's not saying anything about it. To me, that's the weak person for real. Because they're sick. And again, it's going to come out one way or another.
Okay. So, So back to the question about, all right, we spoke about who's at more risk of being sexually assaulted. And people from the age of 12 to 34 are at the highest risk of being sexually assaulted. So parents, you have to be very cognizant of your little girls becoming young ladies. They start getting those little boobies when they 12. Excuse me. They start building their shapes when they're 12. And not knowingly that you may have a old an abuser, a molester, or someone, a predator who may be attracted or turned on by that, who may be watching that young girl. From the age of 12 to 34, they say a lot of women are raped in their first year of college.
I agree with that.
I speak to
Definitely.
the parents on here. We have
Yes.
to put enough knowledge and enough brains and
Yes.
enough smarts into our young men and women that leave home and go to
Yes.
college, and we have to make sure that they know that they can tell us anything,
That's
and we
right.
have their best interests at heart. Because they say a lot of girls go to college and they are molested in study groups and things like that, and they never say anything because they feel like no one is going to believe them. That's bad. So
you have to have those conversations
before you send your child away. Sonia Bryant also said the abused don't understand that doctor until they begin the healing process. I'm guessing she's saying off of a statement you made. She said the abused don't understand that doctor until they begin the healing process. All right.
You have to begin. I don't care if it happened to you 50 years ago. If you still, it's still in there. Talk about it and start the healing process right now. I don't care. Start the healing.
Keem said, back to the statement I said about college. He said, I know that's true. I was security back at Drexel for 9 years. Mm-hmm. I truly feel for the freshmen. It's such a horrible thing they experience at Drexel. All right. Mom Cleola also said, do you think that an abuser deserves a second chance in life? You can answer that.
I do. If they get the help that they need, yes, I do.
All right. I would add a caveat to that for you. Do you think the answer you gave about them deserving a second chance, do you think the abuser deserves a second chance because of the guiding you or the fact that you got to go ahead and let that thing go? Now, we need to know this now because we got to think. Some people on here are not religious, right? I'm just being honest.
I understand.
So, and then some people don't have the relationship with God that you have.
I agree.
So, now answer.
I'm going to give my answer. I can't give someone else's answer. I believe they should, but I don't believe, like, let me say, the gentleman that abused me, molested me, I would have never left my daughter in a room with him.
Okay.
By herself. Okay.
Okay.
Now, that don't mean I said, you know, don't give him a touch. I'm not giving him a second chance to molest my child or my grandchild. Well, I'm not doing that.
Uh-huh.
But I don't think, like, they should just be thrown away like they're nobody, because God has forgiven us all. So that's why I'm saying it. But you still be careful with your children and your grandchildren. And even if you forget a person, Watch as well as pray. Your child back in that situation, after they have confided in you, now they're going to be looking at you sideways and like, what, you don't really care about me? You don't love me? That you're putting me back in this space?
All right. So I want to find out what you think about this. So a study shows that approximately 70 women commit suicide every day in the U.S. following an act of sexual violence. So what made you different, Mom? What made you different, Dr. Pugh, that you didn't commit suicide after going through this for the amount of time you did?
I'm asking you these questions.
I want your answer.
My relationship with God.
There you go. I want your answer.
With God, is what helped me. It helped me to be delivered. It helped me to be free.
Absolutely.
It helped me. And that's the only answer I have is
that's the only answer you can give them.
And talk to God. And tell God and talk to people that I feel like really love me and cared about me. That's why I'm like, you gotta tell. But that's a lot of people. That's a lot of people. Is it 70? What are those stats again?
Approximately 70 women commit suicide every day.
See, that's too many. That's, oh,
my. 70. So statistically,
That's a lot. That's a lot of people.
That's a large majority. So, and I speak to the parents on here. No, I speak to everybody on here.
Yeah.
We have to understand the repercussions that sexual abuse can have on our people, on our children, on our kids. It was a statistic that I read, and I didn't jot it down, but it said that there are elderlies that's being sexually abused in nursing homes. Do you want to talk about that? Being as though
I agree. I can see that happening. And people have gotten caught, even in the hospital. It was a young lady, I think she was in a coma. And I don't know, it was a doctor, or nurse, or someone molested her. That's a form of molestation.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? And she ended up getting pregnant. How did she get pregnant in the hospital, in a coma?
In a coma. Wow.
You know, so again, your loved ones, most of y'all know, if you watch Mommy and Me, my mother has mixed dementia, which is Alzheimer's and vascular. And listen, I put her in respite care. I put her in respite care. And I went through. I could not relax. I could not vacate.
And let them know she was only in there while you was away for a week.
But she was only in there for 3 days.
3 days.
And I was tripping. She was supposed to be there a whole week, but it wasn't because of that. She did come home because of COVID. They had an outbreak there, so she came home. But I could believe it. And that's why if you can't take care of your loved ones, and a lot of people cannot, I understand, but you need to make your presence known. You need to go there. You need to check. When my aunt was in the nursing home, I used to go there, pull a cover bag, look at her and stuff, but like bed sores and stuff like that as well, but be checking her out. You got to go see about your loved ones in the nursing home. That's horrible.
Wow.
That's horrible. And let me tell you, I really want to put a camera in my mother's room.
I don't blame you.
If I thought I could have got away with it,
uh-huh.
I would have put a camera in there while I was born, being able to watch what was going on in that room.
Miss Cleola said that, what do you think about Bill Cosby's situation? Simply because they said that he raped those women or sexually abused those women? Do you have any thoughts of that situation as we get ready to wrap this up?
You know, we all love Bill Cosby growing up. I think he was wrong, and I think the women were wrong too. I think they was both wrong. I really do. Because if you knew he was married and you go to his house after midnight drinking, whether it was he shouldn't have definitely put no pills in their drink. I'm definitely against that, no matter. I don't care. You don't be drugging nobody. Listen, the date rape drug and all that people put in there, that's, to me, that is so wrong. I don't care. Let me have it's my choice whether I want to have sex with you or not. Don't you drug me and take advantage of me. I think that was dead wrong if he did that. But I think they were wrong for going over to his home, knowing he was married and there at night drinking with him and all that, maybe to get a position to get to know him. And I know a young woman, we do foolish things. And I think a lot of them did foolish things. They didn't deserve him getting them drugged. No, not at all. He was definitely wrong.
So as we get ready to wrap this up, you know, I would like to finish this around 9 o'clock. We're going to ask everybody, we're going to only hold the doctor up for a few more minutes. If you guys have any serious questions, Ms. Cleola also said, so do you think he deserves a second chance? I think you kind of answered that, or do you want to answer that towards Bill Cosby?
Yes, I do.
Okay. She believes that he do deserve a second chance. Now, if anyone, like I said, I'm going to give y'all just a few more minutes to ask questions. Also, the doctor had already said that if you guys, anyone that needs to talk, anyone who feels as though they just might need someone that's not in their inner circle, that's in their family, someone that you may be able to talk to about the traumatic experience that you have gone through. You might need somebody that's not in the family to reach out to your child because you feel like your child has possibly gone through this. Or even a sibling, even your significant other. You may not have the words, you may not have the advice, you may not have the skill set to talk to them and be able to relate or get to them. This, she has left her number up here, and listen, if she say you can call her, then that's what she mean. You can call her.
You can call me.
So Cleola said, love you, Bishop Cherry.
I love you too.
All so right. Much. Marissa said, this is a question for you. Do you think parents who have been abused are wrong if they don't allow their kids to have sleepovers at other friends' houses? That's a pretty good question, Marissa.
It really is, girl. You be on point. My daughter would be so mad at me. I pick and chose who house she stayed over. Mm. And I still was on top of it. So we just want to protect our babies. So if you don't feel comfortable, it's not just even sleepovers. Uh-huh. I just spend the night over auntie house too. You have to be careful. You have to be careful. You have to be prayerful. You have to tell your children, pray for them before they leave. And I don't think we can't just hold our children so tight and never let them go. They got to be free, but you got to have these conversations with them. You got to tell them, you know, at an early age, you have to start. Sometime after they 14, 15 years old, they don't want to hear nothing you got to say, because a lot of times they feel like, oh, mom, you tripping. You know what I'm saying? But if you started at like 2, 3, 4, and maybe some of you didn't at that age, but started with right now, started tonight. And talk to your babies and let them know how precious they are. Like they were talking about going to school. When they go to college, you know, let me tell you, I know you're going to be in an unfamiliar territory. Listen, I don't care where you are. You are somebody. You don't put yourself in those kind of predicaments. Watch what you drink. You're going to parties and stuff like that. Be careful. Don't let nobody go bring you a drink. You better go get your own drink. Maybe you shouldn't be drinking anyway, but I'm just saying if you do, because I do understand, you know, don't put yourself in that predicament where someone will take advantage of you. And even if they do, you're going to learn from it, but you got to talk about it. Don't hold it in. That was a mistake that you made, but talk about it. Talk about it.
Absolutely.
If you just have to pick and choose who house your babies go over, that's all. And more important, let the sleepover be at your house. Then you good.
There you go.
That's what I did a lot of times. I let everybody come over and be with Angela.
All right. So Marissa, she was saying to her comment, she was like, her kids can't stand her because she ain't playing that. No sleepovers. Mama Rose said no sleepovers. Marissa said that I just reminded them kids I'll rock the orange jumpsuit if something happens. Let's be safe and keep you home.
Listen, I told Angie that a many a day. I told her that a many a day.
So absolutely.
I understand.
You know, it's a shame because you almost have to be on guard in the places that you should be most vulnerable. Because the statistics show that they said that the violators are 90% of the time a family member or someone in close relationship with the abused person. Meaning, If you are the victim, the person that is victimizing you is a relative or someone that's close enough to be in your family's inner circle. So that puts me in the mindset of, wow, like so the people that I should be the most vulnerable with, the people that I should be most relaxed, the people that you should be the most relaxed, you shouldn't have to watch your kids around their uncles or their aunts and stuff like that. You shouldn't have to watch your kids around a friend that's been a friend for 30, 40, 50 years in your family before you even was born. You know, but.
You know, another thing, ladies, don't be letting your children and your girls or your boys be sitting on people's laps all the time. No, even in church, let that baby sit in their own chair. Some people may think I'm extra, but okay, I'd rather be extra, okay, on the side of caution. Let that baby sit down. Let baby get out that car seat. Let them sit in the church seat. Everybody don't have to keep holding your baby on their lap, girl or boy, okay? I would not let no man hold my daughter. My brothers would be upset with me. Why are you acting like that? Ain't nobody want to. I know. Okay, you may not. But I don't want her getting used to sitting on no man's lap. So she can't sit on your lap. We in the car crowded. She's sitting on my lap or my sister's lap. She's not sitting on her uncle's laps. You know, and I was like, I told Angie, I don't care if it's Uncle Billy, Uncle Warren, Papa Melvin, Derek, I went through all men not realizing that women could be molested her too back in the day. It wasn't like that. So it was like all the men in our families. I was like, I don't care who it is. You have to be careful and you have to tell. So I, like you said, everybody could be the predator.
Anybody can be the predator.
You want them walking around scared, but you want them to be aware.
So,
you know?
So, for us, we're going to get ready to wrap it up. And I just want you to leave people. And listen, if you go into your apostleship, do your thing. But I want you to leave the people that maybe have experienced this and don't know how to say it, that people that may have experienced this and no one listened to them. You know, the people who may have experienced this, you know, that just don't know that there's an outlet or there are people that they can relate to. I want you to just give them like an encouraging word, just something that they might be able to make it another day on. You know, it can be spiritual, it can be natural, it can be whatever that's on your heart. But just let that person know, because you are a survivor of this. So just give them an encouraging word so they know that they can be a survivor one day. And we're going to wrap it up after that, after you give this wonderful word of encouragement.
Okay. First, I like to say, I thank you, son, for inviting me to this podcast, Stirring the Pot, because you do be stirring pots. And I like to say, I think it's my allergies. I'm really not crying or being emotional. If I was, it would be fine, but I'm not. In case people, you know, you keep seeing me wipe my eyes, it's because
I was doing it last night. I always get. Right eye. I was doing it last night. Look at the video from yesterday.
It might be the lights too, the way the lights are positioned. But I like to say, and I thank God for each and every one of you, your comments and your candidness and openness and transparency. And I pray you felt my honesty, and I wanted to get on here. I wasn't begged to be on here. I was asked what I want to talk about, and I think this is so important, especially in Christendom. Mm-hmm. People don't a lot of people don't talk about it in church. Christians don't talk about it. And I think it should be talked about in church even more so than anywhere else. We need to cover our babies. We need to protect our babies. We need to protect each other. We need to be out here to help each other and encourage each other. And yes, I am a survivor, and I thank God. Every day I thank God that I could, and I could make the confession, I could do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. So you can do all things through Christ, which strengthens you as well. But if you're out there and you have been molested, or you know someone has been molested, please, you get help and encourage them to get help, and because they will never fully be healed and they would never fully be whole if they don't talk about it and they don't share it and go get the help that they need. Of course, we all need prayer in a day and time like today and the way this world is today. Listen, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, He will, listen, He will forgive our sin and He'll heal our land. Whether if you are the molester or you have been molested, listen, either way, go get the help that you need. It is help out here. And He is not just a God of a second chance. He's a God of another chance. And I'm glad that I was not one of the 70 women. That statistic was, out of all the statistics you gave, son, that one really touched me. And I'm glad that I can talk about it and no one doesn't have to talk about me because I'm not hearing, because I'm gone because I couldn't deal with it. I'm glad God allowed me to start sharing and opening up and start my healing process. And guess what? I'm still in the process. So listen, stay in the process. I love you. I thank God for each and every one of you. My number is on the screen. Use it if you need it.
So there you have it. The Stirring the Pot podcast wanted to thank you, Dr. Pugh, for being open, for sharing your story, a compelling story, a story that so many people struggle with. Like the statistic says, 70 women commit suicide every day because they couldn't handle what you survived. And we not only thank God, but we just thank your tenacity to get through it and still be here to tell your story to us at the Stirring the Pot podcast. We are streaming this live on Facebook and on YouTube. We are going to share this. I want everybody to share this. Get the word out, because statistics say that it's not the live stream that's effective. It's that person that wake up in the middle of the night that watches it, that gets it. So we're going to put this out there and we're going to reach as many people as possible. But like I said, we thank all of our viewers. We thank you. You are our very special guest. This was one of the best episodes. And I'm not just saying that because you're my beautiful mother-in-law, but I'm saying that because I felt it. It was very transparent. You opened up and you let people know what the truth was. And there's no better way to get through something than to hear the testimony of somebody that survived it. And I tell everyone that's on here that may have been through it, you will not be a part of that 70 people a day. You will be in the pot that Bishop or Dr. Pugh is in. And that's the pot of the survivors. So she left her number on here. Anyone that has, listen, I'm giving you a few seconds to write it down. Anyone that has an issue, you can always inbox Dr. Pugh. And like I said, she's transparent enough. If you're looking for a church, she has a ministry. What's the address?
491315 Wayne Avenue, New Hope Outreach Center.
I am a testament. I visit this church. She speaks truth to power every Sunday. Truth to power, and she's in the community. She doesn't allow four walls to trap her or God in. She goes out in the community and she helps those that's less fortunate or those that just look like they need some help. So anybody on here, everybody on here, I want to thank you all for tuning in to the Stirring the Pot podcast. Like I said, mother-in-law, I love you and I thank you for joining us and giving us all of your time tonight. So at that point, we're going to let all you guys go. Peace, love, and everyone be safe. God bless.
All right. God bless. Why is still on here? It say ended.
That's because you're still on, but the broadcast is over. The broadcast is over. So I'm knocking you off.
Okay.
All right, Mom. Love you.